Welcome to the podcast of St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church, a loving, caring, overcoming community of faith where our mission is making disciples of Jesus Christ.
And welcome back to our St. Andrew's podcast. We are so glad that you've joined us today as we continue in this series called Understanding Grace. I hope it's been helpful to you. We've been looking at the different experiences of God's grace, the ways that He allows His grace to pour out into our lives. And if you remember in our first episode of this series, we talked about grace being God doing something for us that God does not have to do, which I think is a fantastic definition of grace and helps us to understand more about who He is and His incredible nature. But we also talked about these different experiences of God's grace. We talked about prevenient grace being God pursuing us and trying to lead us to our next experience of grace, which is justifying grace, and how this point in our lives we choose to accept God's saving grace through an act of our faith. And I think it's really important that we take time to really look at each of these experiences because it helps us to know who God is, it helps us to know how He wants to interact with us, and it really does benefit us in deepening our relationship with Him. So today we're going to discuss and examine the third experience of grace. And yet again, it is a word we don't often use much in conversation. This third experience of grace is called sanctifying grace. And I am so excited, as always, to have our senior pastor, D.A. Bennett, with us in studio today. And he's going to be explaining this experience of grace. So, D.A., how are you?
I am doing well, Pastor Stephanie, and hello to all of you listening out there. We're so grateful that we have the opportunity to help all of us stay connected in our relationship with Christ during these summer months. It's so easy for us to disconnect from our normal routine and enjoy time outdoors, traveling to see family, friends, taking, you know, students going to camp, all those things.
Yeah.
Great things. We're so glad people have those opportunities to be together with family, to refresh their own souls in the midst of that. And yet we also understand it breaks up our habit, breaks up our routine. And so one of the things I hope people understand in this series we're doing is how each experience of grace is important for our salvation. In fact, John Wesley referred to these experiences as the Ordo Salutis, great Latin phrase.
Whoa,
show a little foreign language there. And Ordo Salutis means the order of salvation. And the thing I think that's helpful in that is, again, it begins with God pursuing a relationship with us. Salvation does not begin with us. It begins with God pursuing a relationship with us. And then it's our commitment to live in relationship with God, but that's not where the experience ends.
Oh, yes, and that's pretty exciting. So this leads us to the next step in this order of salvation, and that is the experience of sanctifying grace.
Yes.
Okay, so before we dive into the understanding of it, let's begin like we have in our other discussions. Give us a definition of sanctify or sanctification.
You know, I love how you always ask me to define some very deep doctrines in a simple way.
Right.
You know, when I was in seminary and in college and I was writing papers on just this very thing, you know, 10-page papers on sanctification.
Right.
And you're asking me, I think, to explain it in about 10 words or less. So, but like many of the doctrines that, we believe as Christians, there's a simple understanding that can give people something to hang on to, something to start with, and that's what we're trying to do today.
Right.
But there's also a much deeper understanding that can just quite frankly make our gray matter cramp just a little bit when we think through it all.
That's true.
So if someone were to just come up to me after church on a Sunday, or if a student came up and just asked me, they said, you know, what does sanctify mean? If someone asked me to define that off the top of my head, the answer that I typically think of first is sanctify is to make something holy.
Right.
In the Old Testament, people would bring their gifts to God, and they would give them to the priest,
right.
And the priest would then sanctify it mm-hmm. for the Lord's use. The priest would make it holy
yeah.
for the Lord's use, and it wasn't just a common thing. And that way, particularly when we read as the people of God are entering into the promised land, it was separate the holy from the unholy, mm-hmm, the
right.
common from the sacred. And so when I think of sanctified, that's what I think of.
Mm-hmm.
Once we enter into a relationship with Christ by receiving God's gift of saving grace, God separates us mm. then for holy use.
Right.
That God is trying to make us holy. And as believers in Jesus, God's grace is at work in us to give us power
mm-hmm.
to overcome those wicked, evil inclinations by leading us to holier
right.
inclinations. So I hope that doesn't confuse anyone. So let me just say it a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
God's desire is that we turn from our sin
yeah.
and live holy lives.
Mm-hmm.
And this experience of grace that we experience after we have given ourselves to God
yeah.
seeks to help us live that holy life.
Yeah, I love that. And I know we talked about this in a sermon a couple of weeks ago, that he really does give us the grace, and along with that comes the power
right.
to resist sin, to really turn away from evil.
Right, and the sermon you preached recently that on perfect in power, that
mm-hmm.
God has the power to win battles.
Yeah.
And one of the great thoughts is the battle that God is always winning is a battle for our soul.
Yeah.
And to help us in that battle, he's helping us to conquer the sin and
mm-hmm.
evil in our lives.
Yeah, it's such good news. It really is. Okay, so that is really helpful. So let's build on an analogy that we have used to talk about these experiences of grace, which
okay.
I really liked that you came up with this analogy where we've compared the experience of prevenient grace with a dating relationship. And then we compare the experience of justifying grace with a wedding. And so what then do you compare the experience of sanctifying grace to?
Yeah, that one's pretty easy. and let me just say that I don't know that I'm the first one to come up with this analogy, but
right.
I also don't remember where I first heard it.
Yeah.
But, you know, using that same analogy, once people get married, they want to live happily ever after.
Right.
And so once we commit to Christ, we want to grow and mature in that relationship with Christ the same way that a husband mm. and wife grow into a mature married relationship as a couple.
Yeah, that's so good. I think that's just really helpful. But anyone who has been married knows that marriage is not always
easy.
Oh,
yes. you're going to start meddling now.
I know,
you're
right.
You're going to really make me dig deep.
You know, that's my job. So sometimes people argue or have misaligned priorities
right.
within their marriage. People sometimes experience change and challenge in life, which can make things difficult.
Right.
People don't always live happily ever after.
Right.
So does this analogy break down, or what else do we need to know about it?
Yeah, sticking with that analogy, and again,
mm-hmm.
for me, it's a helpful analogy. I hope for all of you
yeah.
that are listening, this is a helpful analogy. One of the things that I remember is the best premarital advice that Robin and I received
mm-hmm.
was advice her mother gave us.
Oh, wow.
And she told us quite simply, I mean, she was excited we were getting married. You know, I'd been around a while. I guess she learned to like me or something. But she said, marriage is hard work.
Mm-hmm.
And with every couple that I do premarital counseling with,
mm-hmm.
I always tell them what my mother-in-law told me.
Yeah.
We all want to live happily ever after, but marriage is hard work.
Yeah.
And then I add something to that, and that is, and if you quit working at your marriage,
mm-hmm.
your marriage quits working.
Well, that's good.
So the analogy of marriage probably breaks down at some point, because
sure.
most analogies do break down at some point. But this is exactly the place where understanding sanctifying grace gets a little more difficult.
Okay.
Scripture teaches us that unless we are sanctified, we cannot enter into the eternal presence
mm-hmm.
of God.
Mm-hmm.
God is seeking to make us holy because God is holy,
yes.
and we cannot dwell in the presence of a holy God unless we ourselves are holy.
Yeah.
And so we know that Scripture teaches that unless we're sanctified, we can't enter into God's eternal presence.
Mm-hmm.
But we also believe that Scripture also teaches us that at the moment of committing ourselves to God, we receive this gift of living in God's eternal presence. Yeah. It's not like we commit ourselves to Christ and then he says, okay, that's good. Now, you've got to have, you know, 5 years to get yourself fully holy so you can live.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
It doesn't work that way.
No.
And so what we conclude is that whenever we give our lives to Christ and we receive the gift of salvation, at that moment, we are sanctified. Mm-hmm. It is instantaneous.
Yeah.
It is why at the end of a wedding, we pronounce a couple husband and wife because they are married. If we die after making that commitment, you know, I mean, certainly you don't want to ever be in a situation where there's a deathbed conversion, but if we were, if we die having made that commitment, having received by faith that gift of God's grace, then we are confident that we will be in the nearer presence of Christ once we die, that we will dwell in Christ's presence eternally. Mm. And so even though our relationship with God changes when we say, I do to God, because now we're committed to each other, we're not just dating, we still have most of our bad habits, most of our holy behavior.
That with us. Yep.
That's one of the things that we talk about, how if you give your life to Christ, it'll transform your life, and that's what sanctifying grace is an experience of.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you were weird and couldn't sing before you gave your life to Christ, you're probably going to be weird and not be able to sing after you give your life to Christ.
Yeah.
Those things just don't go away all at once.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need the presence and power of God's Spirit living in us to make us holy. In an instant, we are changed. We are sanctified.
That's so good. And you're right. It is a little hard to wrap our minds around, but you said it really well. So sanctification is the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. But we also know that we have a role to play in this.
Yeah.
So we have a part to do.
Sure.
So it doesn't happen automatically where we are sanctified. So tell me about that.
Okay. And, you know, I certainly hope I can help us all make sense out of this.
Yes.
Again, you ask me those deep doctrinal questions to explain in 10 words or less.
I'm fully confident that you will do it.
Now I'm going to go into more than 10 words. So, yeah, exactly. It doesn't, even though we're sanctified in that moment, we're sanctified instantaneously, there's more to it. I mean, being married in a moment does not instantly make us the best spouse in the world.
Right.
We still have to commit ourselves to being a great spouse. Loving another person is laying down our lives for them, and that means we have to deny ourselves sometimes to show our spouse that we love them. And so as the Holy Spirit works in us, we begin to deny ourselves those sinful passions and those sinful habits, all those inclinations we had for wickedness and evil. While we're changed in a moment, we're not completely changed, and the Spirit continues to work in those. And I think this is really a lot of what we're trying to emphasize here at St. Andrews this year, the discipleship pathway, the things that we learned in our earlier podcast in the year, is that there are different opportunities for learning, there are opportunities for serving, there are opportunities for prayer, and all those, between the things we learn and the experiences we have, they help us to grow in this relationship with Christ.
Definitely.
We make that intentional focus that we're going to invest ourselves into those things that can really help us. And those are just the common things, you know, that we read and meditate and study upon the Bible as being God's word, that we pray, that we serve, that we come together to worship, you know. These are habits that help us to be in a place where God's Spirit does transform us.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I really love about corporate worship. I mean, we're doing the online worship now. We're so thankful for all our online listeners, and I still wait to hear the stories of what God is doing in people's lives through that.
Yeah.
But I just know in my experience, and I'm willing to bet in your experience, others I know would give witness to the fact that sometimes when we come together in corporate worship, things happen that don't happen anywhere else.
That's so true.
And even if we followed the Lord for years, all of a sudden there's this awakening, there's this quickening in our spirit.
Yeah.
And I would say that is the Holy Spirit doing that sanctifying work again,
for sure,
trying to make us holy.
Well, and the interesting thing you say about that is it reminds me of one of our campers who just went to Journey Camp for junior high students, and DA was a dean at that camp, and she came back and she said, she explained what happened to her during one of the worship experiences. And she said, I've just never had anything like that happen before where I really felt like I got lost in the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
Like it was.
I hadn't heard this.
I know, right?
This is a good exciting story.
Yeah, but you're right. I mean, there really is something about gathering together as the body of Christ to worship him, that things happen there that don't happen anywhere else.
Right. And mm-hmm. and so all these things, again, helping us to stay connected mm-hmm. while we're disconnecting. I mean, you know, when people are traveling, I know some families that, you know, they make it a priority to go worship somewhere.
Yeah.
Other families take the opportunity to say, you know what, we're not going to go to church, mm-hmm. But they might feel disconnected, or that might be when they watch our service yeah. online or the tape or something of
yeah.
that. But back to the original question mm-hmm. about sanctification not happening automatically mm-hmm. in us, kind of what I've talked about so far is a long way of saying that while we are instantaneously sanctified mm-hmm. at our conversion, we are not entirely sanctified. Mm-hmm. We are not mm-hmm. completely sanctified.
Yeah.
There's still a work that the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. The more hard work, you know, that marriage is hard work,
yeah.
the more hard work we put into our relationship with mm-hmm. Christ, the more we can find the Spirit is doing a deeper work within us. And I
yeah.
think that's when those awakenings come, is
yeah.
the Spirit is doing something within us that
yeah.
we don't really understand, and we didn't know the Spirit was at work, but the Spirit was at
mm-hmm,
work.
Mm-hmm.
My first year here at St. Andrews, when I was doing the confirmation class, it kind of mm-hmm. snuck up on me, and I
yeah.
wasn't prepared for it, and I was trying to teach our confirmation class about this experience of sanctifying grace
yes.
that God does in our lives, and the best example I could think of was actually one John Wesley used. He would
uh-huh.
say the Spirit tries to root sin out of our lives.
Oh, yeah.
And so to help the students understand that, it was springtime,
uh-huh.
and when I had driven up that night, I noticed that we had some weeds and we had some dandelions
yes, yes.
that were growing. And so I told all the students, okay, we're going to do an experiment. All of you go outside, and I want you to pull 10 weeds and then bring them back to me.
Uh-huh.
And when they would bring them back, we would examine the weeds to see if they had pulled them out by the roots
yes.
so that they would grow back
yeah.
or so that they would not grow back.
Mm-hmm.
And the point we're trying to help them understand is the Holy Spirit seeks mm. to pull the sin out of our lives by the root so that sin doesn't grow back. You know, you just pluck the head off that dandelion, that sucker is going to grow
right,
back.
Exactly.
And so whenever sin is displaced in our hearts,
mm-hmm.
it's then replaced by something
mm-hmm.
else.
Mm-hmm.
When we allow ourselves to be emptied out
mm-hmm.
into God's presence, I think God looks at that as an opportunity then to fill us up
yes.
with something else. And there are different ways that we can express that. Some people would say, well, yes, we are filled with the Holy Spirit in that time.
Sure.
The thing I would want to leave us with is when we empty things out of our heart, what God fills it up with is love.
Mm-hmm.
This is what God's Spirit is trying to do in our lives,
mm-hmm.
to take us from our common, ordinary, sinful selves
right.
and create in us something or someone
yeah.
who is holy.
Yeah.
And so as we get filled with that love, then we're able to do the
mm-hmm.
commandments that are the two greatest ones. We're
yeah.
able to love God with all our heart, soul, mind,
mm-hmm.
and strength. That's one of the things I love about, you know, I hear this student that got lost in worship
yeah.
at Camp Mahomes. My hunch is at that point that this student suddenly, that they could experience nothing else but their love for God with all their
yes.
heart, soul, mind, and strength. They were being
yeah.
filled up in that moment. And then, of course, to love our neighbors as ourselves, because
yeah.
quite frankly, there are some people that are just downright difficult to love sometimes. And the fact that people can love them,
mm-hmm.
to me, that's typically a testimony that God's Spirit is doing this work of sanctifying grace
yeah.
in your life. I know
yeah.
that John Wesley, he kind of struggled with this doctrine. He called it entire sanctification, complete sanctification.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, the phrase that he settled on that is distinctive in our understanding is Christian perfection.
Right.
And again, if I were to define that simply,
mm-hmm.
it's the ability to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and the ability to love your
mm-hmm.
neighbor as yourself.
Oh, that's so good. That is so, so good. Well, and don't you think, too, that there is truth in the fact that we have to allow the time that it takes for this to happen? I mean, it's kind of like when you're changing something in your physical body. If you're trying to lose weight, or if you're trying to have a healthier heart or something, it doesn't really happen overnight, but there are steps and there's progress, and God does this work over time that's a miracle.
Exactly. I've always heard that if you're going to lose weight slow.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I've got my 40th class reunion coming up. You know, I could probably do some crash diet and lose 15 pounds between, you know, now and when it
but
happens.
But it wouldn't last.
But it wouldn't last.
Right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And we don't want just a series of spiritual experiences mm-hmm. where we suddenly feel some kind of strange crash addiction to Jesus. You know, we need something that is slow and mm-hmm. steady and strong, like the growth of a tree.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the growth of a tree.
Yeah, yeah, that's so good. So then sanctification is God rooting sin out of our lives and helping us become more loving people. I think that's wonderful.
That's a simple definition,
yeah, that's fantastic. Sanctification is not just a relationship change with God. It is something where God brings real change.
Right.
Like a life transformation into our lives.
Yeah.
Praise God for that.
Amen.
Friends, this is why it's so important for us to stay connected when it's easy to get distracted and disconnected during the summer months, because we want to make sure we're not taking a summer in our relationship with Jesus Christ, because it really is something that is a process that we continue to grow closer and closer to Him, and we look more and more like Him. We don't ever want to take a break from that. So I hope you will continue to stay connected with us throughout these summer months. We will have another episode of Understanding Grace available to you next week. I'm excited about us looking at the doctrine of assurance, and DA is going to be helping us to understand more about that. Thanks so much for joining us. Hope that you will join us on site as well any Sunday morning, 8:15, 9:30, or 10:50. We'd love to see you here at St. Andrews, and we'd also love to see you visit us online at 8:15 or 10:50 any Sunday morning on Facebook Live or YouTube Live. Thank you so much for listening today, and we do pray that you are blessed.